Ah, good. The podcast chair is still warm. Oh, hello there, listener. I didn't hear you come in. Please, have some wine. I'm afraid Anaïs isn't here this week, so I'm joined by Orla and Emma.
Hello.
Hi.
Such lovely girls. I'm certain they will be able to fill up the gap left in Anaïs's absence. It's time for a very spooktacular episode of Poxcast, the Oxford Events podcast, brought to you by Scaly Info, your one-shock guide to Oxford. What waits within our auditory crypt this week?
Well, I've got all of the week's horror, Halloween horror, as well as mask-making in TikTok.
And I've got pumpkin chandeliers and what to do for the month of Movember.
That sounds excellent. And I'll be talking about bonfires and explosions with an upcoming weekend of fireworks.
All right, calm down, Alvin. So anyway, to start us off this week, I've got Oxford University students presenting award-winning musical The Producers. It's about the ultimate Broadway swindle. An accountant and a would-be producer raise money for a play that they destined to flop. So they hire the worst director, a terrible offensive script, and talentless cast.
And sounds like every Oxford show I ever saw.
you might be familiar with the Mel Brooks 1968 movie, mm-hmm. or the 2005 remake with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane. Anyway, it should be great fun. It's on at the Oxford Playhouse from Wednesday to Saturday, with matinees on Thursday and Saturday.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I've got some musical theatre myself. Appropriate this week, because what could be more terrifying than ballet? Didn't you see Black Swan? This week, you can head to see Le Corsaire at the New Theatre. It's a swashbuckling ballet.
Pirate ballet, yeah.
It's so much fun.
It looks amazing. It's about a pirate who falls in love with a beautiful harem girl. It's got love, betrayal, conspiracy, and a spectacular shipwreck in the last act. Which should be pretty amazing because the sets for this are actually designed by a Hollywood film designer called Bob Ringwood. Now, his work has been featured on Batman, Star Trek, Troy, and Alien 3.
Amazing.
That sounds incredible.
It's an amazing pedigree. They're basically by the English National Ballet, so it's some of the best ballet and ballerinas and balleranas. I'm not sure what a male ballet dancer is called, but in the country, and they're going to be on at the New Theatre until Saturday.
And there's also some other really interesting events that are being hosted around this, aren't there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's ballet workshops for both adults and children. There's a sketch class where you go along and watch them rehearse, and like an opportunity to sketch the ballet dancers. It sounds absolutely incredible.
That's amazing, so you can learn to dance like a balletic pirate.
Exactly, yes.
Great behind the scenes looks as well. Anyway, moving on to Thursday.
Ah, yes. All Hallows' Eve, the most terrifying night of the year, when the dead rest uneasy in their graves, and all good Christians cower indoors. That should leave plenty of room for us, eh, listeners? What unholy and chilling events are occurring on this night?
Well, predictably this year, there will be a whole host of horror in the cinemas again. At the View Cinema on Halloween, you can catch The Exorcist Director's Cut at 8:50 p.m., The Haunting in Connecticut 2, I must have missed the first one because I didn't realise that this was a sequel, but that's on at 9 o'clock. You can also spend practically the whole day at the Phoenix in Jericho watching seasonally spooky screenings. You can start with Toddler Time if you've got a little one, with Timmy Gets Spooked.
I always like taking my small children to horror films. I find it makes the entire experience more.
Well, I think it's a family-friendly one, and that's at 11 a.m. Then there's the 1922 silent vampire horror Nosferatu at 6.
Classic.
Which would be absolute classic, should be brilliant. Empty encore of Danny Boyle's Frankenstein, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller, is at 8:30, and that got amazing reviews when it was first out. Mm. And Halloween, in its 35th anniversary year, will be shown at 11:30 p.m. Now, another really interesting little bit of cinema on Halloween, at Hill End Centre, off Ensham Road on the way to Farmall, there'll be an extra scary screening of The Blair Witch Project. There's some found footage, like, brilliant horror from a few years ago. This is going to be screened in the woods.
At night.
Yeah,
oh,
so
my
outdoors.
God.
Yeah, it's going to be 7:30 at night, and obviously sunset these days is about 4:30, so it should be properly dark by then. They're going
to have better to see you.
Hot drinks available, bring your own blankets, and tickets cost £8.
That actually sounds genuinely scary.
That really does. It's like you can start with Toddler Time in the morning and get incrementally more scary as the day goes on.
Yeah. What about you, Emma?
Well, if you want something really stomach-curdling for Halloween, you can head over to the Museum of Oxford on Thursday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and also in the afternoon to see some gruesome 17th century medicine. So they've got leeches and medical instruments from that era and a barber surgeon demonstrating his craft. I hope not on the audience,
yes.
But we shall see. It sounds pretty scary, but at least it's free. So if you've got any ailments, you can go along and
get them, get more bled out, get the
absolutely.
Bad humours out of you. That's where the red and white barber's pole historically comes from, isn't it?
Really?
Because in the days when people were illiterate, people would advertise their craft by putting a symbol of their trade outside. So a shoemaker would put an old shoe outside or something like that. A barber surgeon would wrap bloody bandages around his pole in order to indicate that you could come here to get blood.
Well, that is something I never wished to learn, but thank you very much, Alan.
You're welcome.
Something more family friendly. This is in Didcot again on Halloween, Thursday the 31st. They've got Halloween mask making from 10 till 4. You can become a bat, a witch, a ghost, a spider, or any of those things. It's completely free and all the materials are provided. So, fun for all the family.
That's
excellent.
Great.
And something else crafty on Thursday, the Avada Warehouse in Osney Lane would love you to go along and help them make a carved pumpkin lantern chandelier. So I'm expecting this is one huge chandelier that they've got there. You bring your own pumpkin. There's places where you bring your own bottle, and here it's a pumpkin. They say that you can expect food, wine, and pumpkin carving.
I bet you're going to turn up and the food is going to be a bowl of pumpkin innards.
Just have a cauldron one end and you can stuff everything from your pumpkin into that. So yes, the carving starts at 8 p.m. and it is free, except for the pumpkin.
Ah, well, I've got a perfect Halloween-themed event. Why? The very name smacks of terror and mutilation. It's Al Gore! Yes, it is actually the Nobel Peace Prize winner and elected President of the United States himself.
Oh.
I know, satire, controversial. Well, not really satire unless you count the American government as satire. Al Gore, he's giving a speech at the exam schools in the centre of Oxford, and his talk is actually kind of scary in its way. He's going to be speaking about the future and six drivers of global change. Al Gore argues we are in a revolutionary period of historical uncertainty that is unprecedented in human history.
He's been banging on about that for ages.
Well, I think this is sort of beyond climate change. This is, you know, I mean, yes, exactly. This is basically what he does. He goes around the world being important and interesting, which is pretty good. Nice work if you can get it. Anyway, that's on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Tickets are free, but you have to book online through the university website.
Or find our website for details.
Of course.
And a couple of days ago, we went to a new liquid deli on Little Clarendon Street and spoke to Darren at Demijohn.
Welcome to Demijohn. Demijohn is known as the Liquid Deli. We moved into number 20 Little Clarendon Street. And the name comes from the glass bottles we sell all the products in. So if you come into the shop, all these 25, 15 litre Demijohns are all filled with lovely liqueurs, food, oils, vinegars. Yeah, it's a wonderful sight. With the backlighting, it's just a wee disco, really.
It is the first thing you notice when you come in here, it's just so pretty. It's got very discreet lighting shining in the through the demijohn so that you've got all this sort of jewel-like effect of all the different colours, lots of gleaming glass and beautiful
simplistic
feel.
Wood, colourful finish to it. Mm. Yeah, it's nice.
And so how does it work from the customer perspective? You'll come in here and what's the customer experience?
It's almost as simple as pick a bottle, pick a liquid. You come in and you can see an array of different shapes and sizes and styles of bottle, all charged, different charges, small charge, £2 to £4 roughly. And then every liquid is labelled per 100ml. So it's as simple as picking a bottle you like, picking the size you like, and then picking the liquid.
Brilliant.
With the plan that you can bring the bottle back an unlimited number of times and refill it without paying for the glass again. So trying to recycle the glass. It's already got a part of recycled glass in it. We try and keep it as sort of eco as possible.
We also wanted to ask, what was the difference between an eau de vie and a liqueur?
Okay, so eau de vie is a general term, used water of life, obviously, if you know French. And it's basically sort of the first distillation of apples, our version. So have you ever had grappa before?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically an apple version. So you distill the fruit, and then you get the white liquid that runs off, and then you can turn that. We've actually got three versions of this. We've got the eau de vie, which is the first distillation. You then age it for 2 years and add apple juice, and you get our Armona. You then age it in a barrel for 10 years, and you get our Somerset Cider Brandy, which is basically British Calvados.
So we're looking at three generations.
Yeah, exactly. Three different ways of doing it. Yeah, and it's all from Somerset by one man called Julian Temperley, who runs the cider bus at Glastonbury.
So flavoured vodka, by contrast, would be something like a grain-based alcohol, and then you add the
sugar flavor. And fruit.
But no, Divi, you'd start with the fruit.
You start with the fruit and distill.
Okay, yeah. And that's why it doesn't have to be sweet, and it tastes so... And this one is just sharp, green, beautiful apples, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. It is crisp. With people starting to talk about Christmas already, I've been noticing some very festive types of alcohol. There's a chocolate orange cream liqueur.
Yes.
Do you get...
That's a very Christmassy drink. Put that in your coffee in the morning, and it's lovely. Not that I've ever done that. No,
I'll let you
try it.
Yes, please.
So this is made down in Devonshire. I mean, if you want something cream, Devon's really where you got to go. It's made with an apple brandy that's supplied by our other producer that makes the eau de vie, who we were talking about earlier, Julian. So he supplies Nigel with the apple brandy. And then he makes the cream liqueur out of it. So even they're kind of setting up relationships between each other.
You start getting the chocolate, amazing. And then once you've swallowed, and after a while, then you get this sort of hit of orange. It's amazing.
It's wonderful stuff. It's like a flavoured Baileys, basically. Mm.
And you can listen to the full version of that interview with Darren on Oxcast Extras on dailyinfo.co.uk/podcasts.
And if you want to get away from the goriness of Halloween, you can look out for Oxford's Movember launch party. That's on November the 1st, that's Friday, at the Living Room. And it's a great opportunity to meet others who are setting out to fundraise for men's health programmes in Movember. And you can pledge to grow your moustaches there, should that be possible for you. And eateries in the Oxford Castle Quarter are all banding together to fundraise throughout the month. And they're changing their names for the duration to show their commitment. So we have the Living Groom. Hosting the party, we have Latashka.
Oh dear.
Bangers and Tash. One more, and Mo Maison.
That is pretty impressive. Good. Are they getting their like signs repainted, or like maybe all of their mascots, or maybe all their dishes will have little moustaches placed on the top of them?
Sausages with moustaches on.
Exactly.
So, for more details of events throughout the month of Movember and about the nationwide campaign, you can visit uk.movember.com.
That sounds really interesting, actually. I've got something for Friday night. There's an absolutely fantastic gig. It's going to be on at the O2 Academy on Cowley Road. It's all the way from Jamaica, reggae classic singer Susan Cadogan, and she's going to be performing a mix of new music and her absolute smash hits like Peace on My Heart or Tracks on My Tears. So, you know, she's really one of the great soul singers of our time. And this is also the farewell gig for the legendary Oxford DJ Derek. I don't know if you've ever gone to a club night DJ.
Of course, Oxford legend.
Yeah, he's retiring after 10 years of dominating Oxford sound systems with his trademark mix of ska, dancehall and soul.
We better give him a good farewell.
Absolutely. This will be on Friday night. Also on Friday night, we've got a band called the Hot Club of Cowtown, and we're going to hear from Miranda Rose telling us about them. So who or what is Hot Club of Cowtown?
They are three musicians in a band. They are from Texas. They are a beautiful violinist. She plays violin beautifully, and she's also quite hot. And she also sings. They all sing. Mm-hmm. But she's the main vocalist. She's called Alana James, and there's Whit Smith on guitar and Jake Owen on bass. And between them, they do this kind of gypsy jazz come country come vintage 1930s swing. It's their latest album, actually, is called Rendezvous in Rhythm, and it's... a sort of tribute to Django Reinhardt and so on, and that's a particular tribute to sort of 1930s Paris kind of jazz. But their normal gigs are a sort of mixture of that and country and jazz standards, and they're just very upbeat, very swingy, and loads of fun to dance to.
So you'd recommend them?
I am definitely going. I never. They don't tour the UK that often, and I never miss an Oxford cheer gig when they do come.
Wow, you'll be in the front row, staring inappropriately at the violinist.
Yeah, well, indeed. Yeah.
Where can people see them?
They are coming to the Art Bar, formerly known as the Bullingdon Arms, currently known as the Bullingdon Arms. They're coming on Friday the 1st at 7:30 p.m. The tickets are £18.50 on We Got Tickets, which is a reflection, I think, of how popular this band is, because there are only 40 tickets there at the moment, which may be to do with the size of the venue, or it may, you know. But, yeah, they're really, really good. If you've heard them at all, you will love them. And you'll already be going.
On to the weekend. We thought we would mention a great local shop, Darnit and Stitch, who host regular sewing and knitting lessons.
And I know this is something that you're particularly excited about, this event.
Well, you both told me that this was the event I needed to talk about. Apparently dressmaking has taken the nation by storm, and you can sharpen your needle and brandish your patterns at Darnit and Stitch. So let me see. So this Saturday, the class will teach you how to make Frilly knickers! Oh, I feel faint! Oh, please, pass me the Selleck smelling salts. Yes, it is indeed a class. It's a four-hour class on how to sew frilly knickers.
There are lots of frills on frilly knickers.
Well, speak for yourself.
Do you know how to make a frill?
I can't say that I do. Clearly, I need to go along.
Obviously, you need 4 hours of tuition at this workshop.
I'm sure they would be happy to see me there.
Anyway, if you want to know...
It feels like you've got a bit of a split personality going on, Alan. Are you okay?
I'm sorry, Elwyn's not here right now.
Anyway, if you want to learn how to machine knit a pair of ladies' unmentionables, there's only one place to do it this weekend, Darnit and Stitch, Saturday at 1 p.m.
And also on Saturday, no sooner is it Halloween, but Christmas appears to be on the horizon, there's a Russian Christmas bazaar on Saturday. It's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Wesley Memorial Church on New Inn Hall Street. There will be ethnic foods. You can eat them both in a cafe there, and there's takeaway too. And there's also books and CDs and DVDs for sale, as well as Russian icons and Christmas cards. Get
I'm prepared. Not going to stock up on my Russian icons. Anyway, moving on.
Ah, yes. I've always enjoyed a good bonfire. It's very hard, though, to get it hot enough to thoroughly burn up any waste you might throw on it. So often, amongst the embers, there'll be little leftovers, spoiling your back garden and catching the notice of nosy policemen. Best, perhaps, to go along to professionally managed burning.
So what's on Friday?
Well, we'd start off with Furnham's Fabulous Fireworks. It's in Furnham Farm, just south of Farringdon.
I'd love some alliteration.
Exactly. It's in West Oxfordshire, and you can go along. It's the first set of fireworks that we know about in Oxfordshire this year. Gates open at 6 p.m, and it's only £10 for a family ticket to watch all the explosions you want on Friday night.
Saturday the 2nd, if you can't make it to that one, in Cullen Park near Abingdon, there's going to be fireworks, bonfire, laser show and Halloween scare zone. Entrance is near the Cullen Science Centre Park, and it starts. Gates are at 4:30 p.m, magic show at 5:15, fireworks at 7. £12 per car in advance, or £15 on the gate, and it's all in support of Help for Heroes.
Oh, you couldn't ask for a much more packed schedule than that, could you?
Also on Saturday, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m, Barracks Lane Community Garden is having a bonfire night and a storytelling by musician and storyteller Jackie Singh. The event is run by Nature Effect, and you can expect lanterns, bread making, pumpkin soup, and cake, and they promise an amazing bonfire. It's a great family event to celebrate bonfire night, and it's free, although they welcome donations.
I think it says something about you and your family whether you choose to go to the Cullen Park Laser Show or the Barracks Lane Community Storytelling.
I know what I choose.
Lowest common denomination of all. Moving on to Sunday, of course there are more events on our website, but more on that later. There's the Big Bang Bonfire. It's on Sunday night at Standlake Arena, and that's from 12 to 6 p.m. They'll be racing. After that, there will be fireworks, and it's £12 for an adult, and so on and so forth. And basically, it's old banger racing to go with the fireworks. You see a clever little...
Yeah. You did that. Moving on to Tuesday, 5th of November itself, if you happen to be in North Oxford, there's going to be a fireworks show for free at The Plough, which is in Upper Wolvercote. That starts at 6 p.m, and there will also be a barbecue and mulled wine.
And there are about another 15 or so firework events all on our website. You can link to it from the homepage. But all leading up to the big roundtable fireworks in South Park on Saturday, the 9th of November. We're actually running a competition with this one at the moment. You can win. There are 6 pairs of tickets and 4 family tickets up for grabs. You just have to write us your best autumnal poem and send it in an email to info@dailyinfo.co.uk or submit it via our website. And the times for that one are 6:45 for the fireworks on November the 9th.
Next, this is more like it, more Halloween fun with the original king of the vampires himself, Dracula. Yes, the north, you can see the classic thrilling and chilling tale brought to life at the North Wall Arts Centre through the medium of dance. Yes, it is a superbly choreographed, so they claim, gothic erotic work of dance. It's set to music from Mozart to modern electro.
Wow.
And it's got 10 talented dancers. The Guardian have said you should kill for a seat. And I've watched some footage online.
Certainly in the spirit of the season.
Exactly. It does look actually very impressive. I mean, it's sort of not your traditional Dracula story, but it sort of really gets across the kind of sinister physicality of the kind of Dracula figure. I always find it difficult to sit through a full performance of Dracula, though. I find it makes me very hungry. Anyway, that's on at the North Wall Arts Centre next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. And finally, we've got some Tibetan monks in Oxford. Let's find out more about why they're here from Miranda.
So, Miranda, you've got a longer event starting on Tuesday. Who are the Tashi Lumpo monks?
Well, the Tashi Lumpo Monastery is one of the most important monasteries in central Tibet. It was in central Tibet. Traditionally, it was the seat of the Panchen Lama, who disappeared in 1995 at the age of six. They think he's 24 now. They hope he's still alive. They don't know. Anyway, after the Tibetan National Uprising in 1959, a handful of the monks from this monastery escaped and set up a new... re-established themselves, basically, in India. And basically now this particular monastery sends out tours of monks quite a lot. They've been here before. I think they visited the Ashmolean about 5-10 years ago. And they basically go around to other countries and give people a taste of traditional Tibetan culture, and particularly their Buddhist culture of the monasteries.
Wow, so what are they doing at the Pitt Rivers?
Well, all next week they're making a... the artists, not the artists. Sorry, can you ask that question?
Yeah. Well, so what are they doing at the Pitt Rivers?
Well, on Wednesday the 6th, there's a Buddha Goes Pop evening event, which is one of the after-hours events at the Pitt Rivers. It's in the evening, and there's lots of little monk-led mini-workshops, like mandala making, butter sculpting, prayer flag printing. Basically, it's all sorts of little Tibetan things you can do. And also a talk by Claire Harris, who has written a book on many of these things and is going to introduce a bit. Her book's called The Museum on the Roof of the World, and she's going to be talking about Tibetan contemporary art, which is how the title of the event came up. But the main focus is going to be all week on the making of a sand mandala.
And what is a sand mandala?
It is a large, circular, floor-based art form, which is also a meditative practice. So basically you create a picture on the floor using powdered sand of many different colours. You used to use semi-precious stones and so on, all powdered into sand. And now I think they used just sort of different coloured sands. And you create a picture of the universe in this mandala, and you spend all week doing it, all of you. And then you destroy it at the end of the week, because this is a way of sort of... celebrating the ephemeral nature of all things. And so it's actually a sort of whole meditative practice. And you can pop in all week at the Pitt Rivers from the 5th to the 10th of November and see them making the mandala. On Tuesday the 5th, there's going to be an introductory dedication and some prayers and some chanting. And then on Sunday at 10:45 a.m., if you want to join the procession to the river where they throw away the mandala and possibly take home a small bag of sand as a memory of the occasion, then if you turn up to Pitt Rivers at 10:45 a.m. on the Sunday, then you can join in the procession then, and that's on Sunday the 10th.
It's a very beautiful but rather kind of alien concept, isn't it? That, you know, we're so fetishized kind of, you know, things that you put work into, masterpieces, and we have these works of art that you store and want to appreciate, and our religious icons are sort of permanent and ancient, and then they're just destroying something they've spent literally a week making.
I think that's kind of the point.
I know,
they're traveling
around
bringing their alien culture and presenting this very alien concept in a rather beautiful way to all the different places around the world where people can appreciate it, and it's an extraordinary privilege, I think, to be able to visit this process going on. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that coming.
If you want to know more about any of the events, particularly the most terrifying ones that we've mentioned in this podcast, you can see all the info about them or any other event in Oxford on dailyinfo.co.uk.
And on dailyinfo.co.uk, you can also find a job, you can let your room, you can find a room, you can write reviews of theatre or cinema you've seen, you can see what's on at the cinema, everything is there. We've even got someone trying to find a home for their horse at the moment. So everything is there on dailyinfo.co.uk.
You can also follow us on Twitter, @dailyinfooxford, or search for us on Facebook with Daily Info Oxford.
Goodbye then, boys and ghouls. I hope you have a thoroughly frightful week. Are you sure you won't stay for dinner? We can always find room for an extra guest on our table.